Welcome to Homemaker Chic Podcast, where we are rescuing the art of homemaking from the daily grind with red lips and no jumpers. There, look, I did our traditional.
Good job.
I didn't jazz it up or anything.
Way to stick to it.
Way to follow the script.
And we're both wearing clothes and we both have red lipstick on today. So it's Monday and we're bringing it.
We are not nude podcasting
today.
Sometimes
we record naked. I don't know.
Shut up. Oh, don't make me laugh. I'll start wheezing into the microphone again.
There's no flannel pajamas today.
Okay. I am Angela Reed of the blog ParisianFarmGirl.com, and I am hosted by the fellow red-lipped Shay Elliott of the Elliott Homestead. How are you this fine Monday?
I'm good. I got a really funny message that I have to tell you about.
Okay.
In last week's episode, we were talking about chin hairs.
Oh, boy. Yes.
And I said, how does Claire get rid of her chin hairs? Referencing, of course, Claire from Outlander. Mm-hmm. How did Claire get rid of her chin hairs? And my friend Claire, Mama Claire, She heard it and she thought, how does Shay know I have chin hairs? Like, why would she talk about me like that on the podcast?
Oh, that's
and it made me
funny.
Laugh. I thought you'd appreciate it. That moment of sheer panic. Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. That's like we watched Christmas Vacation the other night, and that line where she says something about your mother accuses my mother of waxing her upper lip. And he says, your mother waxes her upper lip. Can't tell. You know, it's just like we need to. If you're new to the podcast, we have sort of this cast of characters.
Yes.
That are with us always. Mm-hmm. Jamie and Claire of Outlander are two of them. Mm-hmm. Jamie Beck. The photographer is another one.
Monty Don.
We talk about Monty Don.
Tasha Tudor.
Tasha's in spirit.
Hugh Faring Whittingstall.
Absolutely. The whole River Cottage cast.
Gil Meller. Yep.
Gil Meller. Alex Langland's Ruth. What's her name?
Oh, Goodwin.
All the Victorian farm cast. They're here with us. We use them like on a first name basis. So if you're listening for the first time, you're like, who waxes their lip? Like, we just, we have people we talk about all the time.
Have tried to stalk Peter and Ruth and Alex from Edwardian Farm, Victorian Farm, Wartime Farm. They're like not online. Like, they just peaked just before I feel like people got Instagrams.
They did, but Alex is on Instagram.
Is he?
I tagged him the other day. Because I made the smoker.
Follow.
You know how they make that really like rudimentary smoker?
Yes. At Edwardian Farm?
In Edwardian Farm, episode two. Hello, nerd alert. I made one for my Gouda cheese with a barrel and a galvanized bucket. And I was so geeked. I took a little video on Instagram stories and I tagged him.
There he is, Alex Langland. Oh, geek alert.
Geek alert.
Such a fangirl.
Oh, my goodness.
I love them. Yes, a big welcome to everyone who's joining the podcast today. I hope your expectations are low.
Very low. We are going to do our darndest to under-promise and over-deliver, but we can't promise anything.
You guys are experts at anything. No, we are not. We are housewives who... With chin hairs. That's it. That's our tagline. We're housewives with chin hairs.
Red lips, no denim jumpers, and plenty of stubborn chin hairs.
Oh, let's cue the wine music.
Let's do it. I am still sort of wheezing into the microphone, so I will do my best not to ruin our groovy song. But this is the part of the podcast where we share with you what we're sipping. So if you're over on Instagram, don't forget to use the hashtag #WhatI'mSipping and share with us. And we want to encourage you to tap into life by drinking Dry Farm Wines with us. Dry Farm Wines is a fabulous online company that ships Shay and I and will ship you organic, biodynamic, naturally yeasted, low sugar, no garbage wines from all around the world. The garbage in your wine is frightening. Up to 76 ingredients that legally don't have to be listed on the back of your wine label. And while you're smiling at yourself in lockdown in the mirror with your red lips, or if you have a few people over and you're smiling at them, you won't end up with purple teeth because there is no purple dye in Dry Farm Wines.
Mm-hmm. So we had dinner with some friends from church yesterday afternoon, and one of the gentlemen there was talking about how wine can tend to hurt his stomach when he drinks it. And I find it very hard to hold back myself often, but especially,
I think we talked about that last time,
especially when it comes to wine, because I immediately wanted to be like, dry farm, ingredients. And then I was like, Shay, you are too much for people and you need to wind it back. And so I just sat there and smiled and, you know, realized not everyone wants a solution to their problems. But if you do want a solution to your wine problem, dry farms is your answer. If wine makes you feel gross, if even like half a glass will give you a headache or itchy ears like it gives me, or make you feel gross the next day or just tired, dry farms is the answer to that. So dryfarmwines.com/homemakerchic. Get a bottle of wine for a penny with your first order through that link. So do visit them. Do check them out. Do buy them as a Christmas present for the wine lover in your life.
Yeah. And it is what? December 9th?
7th.
You need to like stock up on the bubbly.
Yeah. Yes.
Because it's going to be New Year's Eve before you know it.
Yes.
You got that kind of lull. Maybe you just need a bottle of bubbly every day in between Christmas and New Year's. So be sure to stock up on the bubbly.
What are you sipping today?
I am sipping. I love this one. It's Le Vélo de ma grand-mère. It's my grandmother's bicycle. Have you ever had this one?
No.
No? Isn't it cute?
It's so cute.
It's super cute. So this is Valley Mercier is the winery. And this is a Loire Valley wine. Actually, like we can get really specific. It's a French wine from the Loire Valley, the middle Loire, Touraine, Chignon. There's the whole breakdown. If you wanted to really like in English class when you had to dissect a sentence, I hated that. I was absolutely terrible at that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the 2019. It's got like a 4.5-star review. If you look online, it is 100% Cabernet Franc. And it's very delicious. It's got a little yeasty, cheesy, yeasty overtones.
I love those.
Red fruit. It's pretty good.
Well, I might have to request that one to be in my next order.
Yeah, it's very sweet.
My grandmother's bicycle.
My grandmother's bicycle. We'll take a picture and put it on the Patreon page because it's a cute label.
It is cute.
It's an orange silhouette. Orange is like one of my favorite colors, and I love silhouettes.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I just posted last week on Instagram. What was it? I did something in orange. Oh, I did a photograph in orange. It was all orange foods. Mm. And it's funny to me because orange were my wedding flowers. Orange was my wedding color. I love it.
Oh, I saw that post.
But I don't have any orange flowers in my garden. I'm like Tasha Tudor. Like, you're not allowed here. And I don't know why. They just don't play well with my garden.
I don't either, but my house is full of orange.
Yeah. Isn't that strange?
It is strange. Now, I remember Barbara Streisand once, she decorates. Well, I'm sure she does all her decorating. Give me a break. But she believes that your flowers should match. Like you're looking inside, like your living room, the colors should match then what you see when you look outside.
Hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you have like an orange living room like mine, then orange flowers should be outside.
Whoops.
That seems so boring to me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Interesting. I've never heard that. I've heard Monty talk about how the flowers by your house should be the most vibrant and then they can slowly fade in color and saturation as you go out.
That, so like colors kind of naturally do that anyways.
Naturally do that anyways. Yeah. Right. So concentrate the saturation, the energy closest towards your house and then, you know, allow them to filter out a bit like a wildflower. Uh-huh. That's how I kind of picture it.
Okay.
Oh, the things we can learn from Barbara and Monty.
No, I disagree with hers. Plus, she's not doing the gardening and she's not doing the decorating.
Yes. So. Hey, gardener, plant orange flowers over there. I told you last week that YouTube keeps recommending Princess Diana videos to me.
Did you watch one?
I did. I watched another one. I was very upset by it.
Now, okay,
I just got to get this off my chest and then we can talk about important things. Yesterday's, I watched two. They were like 3 minutes a piece. YouTube got me. The first one was Diana talking about the 8 weeks before Harry was born and how it was the only time of their marriage where they were just really in sync. Like they were in love and things were really good. And it was just a lovely, beautiful time. And then she said the second Harry was born, like it was all over, which was just really sad. And sort of just sharing her disappointment, her struggle with postpartum, really. And then it kicked over to an interview of Prince Charles. And he did that stupid political garbage answer that was so diplomatic, but it was just like, you're being shady. Because this interviewer was like, basically, were you unfaithful to Princess Diana? Like, did you have an affair on her? And he was just like, oh, life, it's so hard to live it out in front of people. And it's these are private matters. And, you know, she's a great friend of mine and she will continue to be a great friend of mine. It was just like, why can't people just say things? Like, I know that has nothing to do with anything. It just really bothered me. I know. It just really bothered me. It was like, you're a man. And either you stand by your actions or you admit you made a mistake. But this, do one of those things. Stop establishment skirting answer. Me around like a politician.
That's an establishment answer for sure.
It was such an answer
there was
that
an episode of The Crown where they did show them like in love. Like, and I don't know, you know, how fictionalized it was, but they were like fighting for the marriage. And you just were like, oh,
I know how this ends. I know.
Gosh.
I know.
Yeah.
Tragic. Okay. That has nothing to do with anything. I just thought you should know. Men and women, train up your men. Admit they made a mistake or stand by it. Okay. None of these answers.
That is so off topic.
I know. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm like, you know, we haven't had a good fashion, hair, makeup, frivolous, fun conversation in a long time. Can we talk about that on Monday? Because
well,
I have to tell you.
That's what made me think of it. Princess Diana, hello. Her voice, her hair, her skin, her clothes.
Yes.
Get out of here. I mean, that's what made me think of it.
Obviously a princess. Plenty of time to take care of herself, but she really did.
Yeah.
Gym every day, swimming.
She looked great. Grapefruit
for breakfast. Colonics. She did it all. Yeah.
She looked like it.
Oh, what was I saying? I don't know what I'm saying.
Before we get into today's topic too much, let's give a shout out to Toops & Co., who is bringing you this episode today.
Perfect.
And it's perfect timing because we are talking about skincare. We're going to be talking about silk underwear. We're going to be talking about blowing your nose into a microphone.
I leaned away.
And Toops & Co. is such a beautiful company for you guys to check out, especially this season. If you're looking for stocking stuffers or special things to put under the tree, Toops & Co. is your one-stop shop for all organic, all natural skincare and makeup. Angela and I get asked all the time, how do you keep your skin looking great? How do you eliminate toxins from your makeup, from your skincare? And if you're completely new to this and you're wanting to take a step in that direction, then check out toopsandco.com because they utilize what's in nature. Grass-fed tallow is a major ingredient in their balms, which are fabulous. Check out the frankincense balm. But Emily also utilizes essential oils, olive oils, all completely organic ingredients, whether it's for makeup or for skincare. The dry shampoo is excellent. There is a new eyeshadow that I am dying to try called Smoking Plum. Doesn't that just sound like you should be wearing it at Christmas time with a red flannel skirt?
Yeah.
Red and purple are opposite on the color wheel, which makes them perfectly complementary colors. I love them. And then also the Rose Gold Luminizer. I want you guys to check out for putting highlights on your cheeks, on the bridge of your nose. I can't wait till mine comes.
Red and purple are not opposite on the color wheel.
Aren't they?
You said that. Did you see my face? Like,
no.
What?
Well, what are they? There's a certain degree where it's like, I know that red and purple are something to.
They're one step away from each other.
I wish I could see what you're saying.
Okay, so red is like 4 o'clock.
And there's a reason that they work.
Blue is 8 o'clock and purple is 6 o'clock.
Oh, you're right. Sense? Yes, yeah. You're right. Okay.
But they, but yes, they
I know there's a rule to that.
Purple comes from red. So.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Blue and yellow. That's what I was thinking of. Those are opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Blue and yellow. They work well, so well together. Shove it. Tubesandco.com. Coupon code homemaker for 10% off of your Tubes and Co. order.
Wonderful. Red wine.
Let's red wine dive lipstick. Into it.
Let's do, let's just start with the glow. Okay. Mm. Got a little glow. Can you see it?
I can see it. It's a nice little highlight on her cheekbone, really accentuating the structure there.
You're going to make one change in your makeup routine, make that. Because it's winter, and as much as you're exfoliating, hopefully, which is what we're going to talk about today, and like trying to like maintain not looking like a big dry skin sack, putting some glow on your cheekbones and your chin and the tip of your nose. Mm-hmm. It's a game changer.
Mm-hmm. It looks like she drank a bunch of water and she's well rested. Mm-hmm. No, she didn't. She's high on espresso and slept for 3 hours.
Exactly.
But she looks great.
It's 9 a.m. She's made 4 loaves of bread, milked 4 gallons of milk, washed last night's dishes.
Broken up 87 fights.
But dang, she is glowing.
Okay, let's start from the basics. Let's start from skincare because I want to talk about this. I was having a problem with my skin breaking out. And I think part of it was coming from, this sounds weird, but just like being dirty outside all the time, all summer, like, mm-hmm. like literally dirt, you know, when you can come in and you just see dirt on your face and you're like, oh
yeah. Where you sweat and you're sweating. Like a mark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I was getting it on my cheeks, which I've never had before, ever. I don't know why I was trying acne? All the things.
You were getting
kind of like clogged pores, just kind of like clogged pores. Okay. And some like, you know, straight up pimples. Uh-huh. And I was getting really frustrated about it. And finally, I just threw my hands up. And this sounds silly, but I actually prayed about it. And I was like, look, I don't want to give this any more thought. This is stupid.
Yeah.
It's a waste of my energy. So either just, you know, take it away or just make me not care about it. Because this is, I just have other important things to care about. This is seems so frivolous and silly. And for whatever reason, I decided that night to go back to oil washing, which I'd done for years. And oil washing sounds so weird, especially for somebody like me who has oily skin. It's super counterintuitive, especially when you started doing makeup in the late 90s when everything was matte, like no shine, no shimmer. Everything was flat, flat, flat.
Yes.
And this dewy makeup that we're all so used to now, this was not a thing until like 5 years ago. You know, I remember like
it was
no
a
glow
thing, like in the 50s.
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah. I mean, you remember like the oil blotting little pads and like
papers.
Yeah. You can't show. There should be no showing oil. And so I struggled with acne growing up. And once I got my hormones kind of in check and cleaned up my diet, it went away significantly.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I decided to start oil washing again. And because I am who I am. I decided to use olive oil. I had Jovial olive oil. And so I'm like, I'm going to oil wash with olive oil and that's going to be the end of it. And the cool thing about oil is that when you put oil on oil, like dissolves like. And so when you're using an oil on your skin, it is actually dissolving the oil from your skin. Mm-hmm. It takes it with it, which is really interesting. And so that's what I started doing, getting my face really with warm water, rubbing it all down with olive oil, and then getting a nice hot wash rag, holding it up to my face for a few seconds, letting the pores open up, and then just really gently wiping the olive oil away, rinse the rag once, and then do it once more. And that was like 3 months ago, I think. And my skin, I don't think, has ever been better. And it's from olive oil. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like no fancy cleansers, nothing, just olive oil. That's it. That's really the only thing I have to bring to this conversation in terms of advice. I always take my beauty advice from Angela. I don't give it to her. So Here's the mic. Pass it to you.
I've never done that. I have never oil washed before.
Mm. It's great for taking off eye makeup and stuff like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That do you just strips waterproof away. Mascara?
Funny thing.
I don't. Okay.
I do. Because of this dewy makeup, I have hooded eyelids. And this dewy makeup thing we got going on here, it makes my cheek, my top of my cheekbone touch my lashes. And so my mascara was always like gooping under my eye. So I started with it would just leave like a black mark. I don't know if I'm like from where I look or I don't know.
On your cheekbone?
Like right under my eye right here. Right under my eye, the outside of my eye.
For some reason, I didn't think you wore mascara on the bottom.
I don't.
Okay.
No, I'm totally fake on the bottom or totally just plain on the bottom.
Okay.
Anyway, started wearing waterproof mascara. And turns out when you wear waterproof mascara, I don't like the big eyelash look. I'm over that now. I'm like au naturel, like try to use really little mascara, but they curl a lot better with waterproof mascara and they hold their curl so much better.
Okay. I don't curl my lashes. So
what?
Uh-uh.
I have such thick hair. There's like so much of it. And my eyelashes, they're just naturally curly like this. I don't even know. I mean, they just go up to my eyebrow on their own.
If I curl my eyelashes, they crimp. They do this thing.
I think that's an eyelash curler problem.
No, I don't like it. I mean, that's horrible. I mean, I will wax my bikini, but putting an apparatus up at your eyeball that could hurt you. I can't do it.
Okay.
I just can't.
You are blessed with very beautiful, naturally curled eyelashes then.
Yeah. I wish they were dark.
Life must be hard for you.
Dark eyelashes. Oh my gosh.
I know. It comes with a price though. Cause then you got to wax your mustache. Everything comes with a price.
I have to wax my mustache anyways. That's the problem. I look like a catfish. I'll get up in the morning and I'll just like start in on my makeup. And then I look closer like, what? They grow overnight. It's like
this is what like I don't get.
We need
about
a YouTube channel. We need to. We're gonna, guys. You need to like let us know over on Patreon or Instagram if you want to watch this.
Yeah,
if you want to see what we're doing here, because I'm making like total catfish motions up at my upper lip, and you're missing it.
Okay, so you wax your upper lip.
Yeah.
What do you really cleanse quick, with?
I want to just like, if people are like, wait, what's the dewy thing that we're talking about? If you want to see, aside from Marilyn, because she just was luminescent and dewy, fabulous. But if you want to see a modern take on that, there's a movie. It's a Disney movie called The Finest Hour. It's a great movie to watch with maybe like your tweens, your older kids, about a shipwreck. But the girl, it takes place in the 50s. The girl's makeup is so unbelievable.
Mm.
She looks like she's been spritzed with a Mr. Bottle. Like, it is such a great example of dewy makeup. Just.
Okay. I'm going to check that out.
Mm-hmm. The Finest Hours.
Okay. I'm going to check that out.
Okay. What did you say?
I asked you what you cleanse with. We're starting from the beginning. So we wax. Okay. We wax.
You wax
your mustache. I pluck my chin.
I wax my eyebrows. My face, I wax like crazy. I cannot wax my eyebrows because then my eyelids break out in zits.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I cannot do it. I've tried it a couple times and no. Huh. I'd rather just get a nice precision, go in with a tweezer. And I barely tweeze them anymore because I think I, so cliche, over-tweezed in high school.
Yeah.
And so now I'm all about like the... Gosh, I got this like tight angle brush and I'm trying to make the most fake, authentic looking eyebrows as I can because I love big eyebrows.
Yeah.
I'm really like experimenting. I love Liz Taylor's eyebrows. They've got like a nice curve. They're really interesting. Marilyn's are really beautiful. And I'm trying to just experiment with some new looks because they make such a big difference.
They make such a big difference. And I got to say, as much as I love the natural beauty bit, I feel like some of the eyebrows are getting a little out of hand.
Oh, like bushiness?
Like when you go to Sephora and you see like all the pictures on the wall and you're like, you could tighten it just a little tiny, just a little
I gotta tell
bit
you.
More. I used to shave my unibrow in high school with a razor.
Oh my gosh. Are you kidding?
Nope.
Oh, see, and if I have to use a little wax right there, then I will break out. I actually, about once every 4 years, I buy a tiny little bottle of Nair, and that's what I will do right in between my eyebrows if they get out of control. Hmm. Because if I wax them, then I do. I just get
I can't believe you break out from wax, but not Nair.
I actually think, and maybe we have like estheticians that listen, I think it's probably like a super deep exfoliant. I think it's probably just pulling like the strength, maybe stuff that was down below, because it's not like I'm leaving a residue or anything.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's what I think.
So we're keeping our facial hair in check.
Please, for the love. Like, yeah. We're trying.
And we're going for that dewy look. I think it's really encouraging, like you said, especially during the winter time when your skin is pale. There's no sun-kissed going on this time of year. I'm always like, oh, I look okay. And then I look back at pictures of our family in like January or February. And I'm like, gosh, we all look like we're sick. Everyone just looks sickly.
Scurvy. Yeah,
like they have scurvy. Like they have scurvy. Right. Just get the kids some sunshine. But actually, that's become part of my, quote, beauty routine. And it's sunshine? Just getting outside for,
yeah.
I mean, I get outside to milk the cow. I get outside to feed the animals. It's not like I'm not outside, but intentionally for joy and fresh air and mental calmness and just raising my face to the sky, getting outside for 30 minutes a day with my kids. Just, we're going to go for a walk. We're going to move slow for no other reason. And I feel like whenever you come back, even if it's freezing, you come back feeling luminescent from something like that.
Yes. Well, it's all, you're all stimulated from
blood,
the cold.
Blood circulating.
Yep.
You got to jar it. Get it moving. Yep.
Don't stay inside. Our cold climate friends, I know we reference like everybody lives in a cold climate, you know, our four season climate, but don't stay inside. Go outside.
All the outside. I just saw a quote from Charlotte Mason. It was like, what? Basically, why would you ever do something inside that you could do outside?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you do that?
I do so much outside. Even on Thanksgiving, it was a nice day. I don't like noise. I'm a little uptight. Noise triggers me. Indoor noise. So I took my KitchenAid mixer outside, and that's where I made like all my whipped cream and mashed potatoes and stuff outside. Mm-hmm. Like, why not? Just having my little summer kitchen. I will do anything I can if it's not raining or snowing.
Sure.
Outside.
Yep. It's true. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're doing that. We're cleansing. Oil washing. If you haven't tried it, do give it a go. It's been great for me.
You asked me what I wash my face with.
Yeah, like 3 times 15 minutes ago, but it's fine.
Okay. I use a lot of other skincare, but this is so silly. I use Trader Joe's tea tree face wash. No matter how loyal I am to other things, that is what I wash my face with. It takes everything off. It makes my skin like shiny, clean, but not stripped.
Mm-hmm.
And again, has lots of essential oils in it. I love it. I absolutely love it.
That's funny because you left a bottle of that at my house when you came to visit, and I used it and I was like, I hate this.
Really?
Yes, I hated it.
I just love it. It's, and like, bonus, okay? It's excellent for getting stains out and washing your makeup brushes.
Yes.
So all the bacteria that builds up on your makeup brushes, you know, if you feel like your face is looking dingy and you're like, I'm not doing anything different, you probably need to wash your makeup brushes.
Mm-hmm. I use lemon oil. Lemon oil really strips it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're cleaning our makeup brushes. We're washing. Let's talk about something I need to deal with, which is not stopping hair management during the winter for my dear husband's sake and full body exfoliation.
Are we talking about styling your hair or other hair management? I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You did reference the husband. Like, I don't know where we're going with this. This is not in the script. There is no script. By the
I was
way,
meaning but. like right now, you guys, I'm just laying it out there. Okay. God help me. Like my legs are out of control. They need to be shaved. They need to be dealt with. And I should probably exfoliate and moisturize so I'm not like a scaly, dry, hairy monster. And listen, women, whatever, like if you don't want to shave, fine. You and your husband got a thing worked out. That's great. Good for you. That's totally, I'm talking about for me. I do like to shave my legs. I do like smooth, silky skin. I like that. So that's what I do. And it's hard in the wintertime when no one sees it, right? Like I'm not wearing sundresses. My legs aren't on display. And so the temptation is to just not do anything.
Yeah, no, I'm not tempted like that.
Really?
I shave like once, if not twice a day.
Are you serious?
Yes, my leg hair is out of control.
See, mine's soft and
right
blonde.
Now. It's growing right now.
Okay, do you
Why
exfoliate?
Would I
want to
get in bed at night with like my hair scratching on my
See,
American Blossom linen sheets?
Mine doesn't scratch. It's like kitten hair. It's like blonde little kitten hair. I need to exfoliate my body. I need to lotion and shimmer this up.
Okay. I do exfoliate and I just like super easy. Big Tupperware of sugar. Fill it with olive oil. Few drops of whatever scent I want. And I leave it on the edge of the tub. And yeah.
Okay.
I just scrub it down like aggressively.
Yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't the sugar dissolve? Do you use like a brush? Like I've got a dry brush.
I use my hands.
Just your hands?
Just rub it in. Yep.
Mm.
And so it's like polishing, buffing, and then you rinse off and then you're like totally lotioned because of the olive oil has like such a big molecule, right? Like it's a big molecule. So it stays on your skin. It feels so good.
Yeah. So you're doing both.
Yeah.
At the same time. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I like this idea.
Super cheap. I mean, you know, the little fancy ones at TJ Maxx, they're full of garbage. And this is just like, just make it out.
Just
home.
Sugar and olive oil and oils. Okay. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And one of the ways that I thought I could convince myself to do better at this was to buy myself. Well, actually, I requested that Stu would buy me a silk robe for Christmas. Because I'm a grown woman and that's what I want.
Okay. And then are you going to like walk around the house in it?
Yeah.
Like it's my dressing
morning,
gown?
Like my morning. Yeah. It's my dressing gown. So when I put my like something on, then I wear my silk robe over the top of it. Like when I go have my first cup of coffee, right? In the winter when you need that little bit of extra.
And for the winter, I have my big long plaid one.
Yeah.
I wore like in the cinnamon roll video last year. You're like,
yes.
It's got like these beautiful cuffs. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It has a zipper. It's just like a big, huge garment.
Mm-hmm.
But you just feel so elegant.
Yeah.
Your heat is staying in. And,
yeah. Our bedroom's cold. Again, old house, drafty, right by a window, big window. And so I have nice flannel pajamas that I wear. They're in good shape. Like it has all the buttons and the drawstrings. There's no holes or tatters. So I feel good wearing those.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, especially now that we have Jeremy living with us, like I don't want to come out in just in my pajamas. It doesn't feel quite right. And so I love the idea of having a dressing gown to put over.
And how long is this one you have your eye on?
My knees.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, he was like, I'm not going to buy you that. And I was like, why? And he's like, because I know you have one in mind that you want to pick out, one that you'll actually want. Like, I don't want to get you one and spend that kind of money on something that's not exactly what you want. And so I was like, well, how about some like underwear then? Some nice new underwear? Because what woman doesn't need to throw away at least half of her underwear?
I went to put on a pair this morning and I did. I just had to throw them away.
Yeah.
Like the elastic was like hanging off the edge. The little cotton panty part was peeling back.
Yeah.
You know, the crotch part. I'm like, why is this in my cabinet? I didn't even know. I have this rule. Like if underwear starts to shred or when I'm doing laundry, if there's even a hint of a hole in a sock, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going back into circulation. So these ones snuck in, apparently.
Yeah. My underwear, again, let's just go into it. The thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are listening to this. My underwear situation is dire, okay? Because last year I went through this exact same thing and we talked about this and I went online and I ordered myself some packages of underwear and I ordered the wrong size. And do you think I return them like an adult would? No, I've been wearing the wrong sizes of underwear for a year.
Too big or too small?
Too big.
And like it's falling down?
For example, when I went to church yesterday, I had this underwear on and I had tights on. And so like after I go to the bathroom, I have to spend 5 minutes trying to tuck the underwear flat because it just bunches up. I know. She's looking at me in disgust. Like,
well, you're
what's
very small.
Wrong with you?
I mean, like you're a small. I buy big underwear. I buy bigger underwear than I need because then it doesn't creep up my butt. Just
do you wear silk underwear?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
They're like some really super, it's like that second skin. They're all my underwear is like that second skin micro. I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay.
I wear like the seamless. There's no stitching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I know what you're saying. I need to find listeners. Just send me a message on Instagram. Be like, this is the underwear you need to buy. I bought some of that wool underwear we talked about a couple seasons ago. I bought a few pairs. I did. It was excellent. I loved it. But both of them already have holes and they're about 3 months old.
Okay.
And I was like, that was really expensive underwear to last for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So feeling kind of discouraged. And I'm thinking about just going commando for the rest of my life. Just
I don't wear underwear with tights. That sounds like a hot mess.
It was a hot mess, especially because I couldn't find my bra, so I had to wear my corset. And so I was like corseted, extra giant underwear,
upside
leotards,
down.
Mini skirt, because I hadn't planned to wear my corset, which I usually wear with one of my big... It was a stringy, tight, elastic disaster.
Nothing like focusing on worship. When your undergarments are making you crazy.
Well, when women wore corsets, they didn't wear underwear. They didn't wear underwear. They would
Have you seen pantaloons? Don't those look comfortable?
They look excellent and breathable.
I could rock me some pantaloons. Oh,
this
my goodness.
This is the problem, Angela, is that when you start spiraling, you just keep spiraling. So
into like historical garments
you do,
and
because
femininity and the way things were done. It's a...
For example, like when you
What's
wear when
rabbit
you wear
trail?
Your corset, it's like a corset works best. The way that it flares out, it brings your waist in where your waist naturally comes in, and then it flares mm-hmm. out towards your hips and your butt. Now, you know, during certain time periods, that was worn with that butt pad. I can't think of what it was mm-hmm. called, like during the Victorian times, where it was literally a hoop of padding that sat on your hips underneath your skirt so that your hips looked wide and beautiful. And I mean, it's so flattering. It's such a flattering shape for a woman. But the downside of that is if you're just wanting to wear the corset as a supportive undergarment, and you can't wear it with like a nice tight Calvin Klein dress because there's lumps and bumps from it. It's not
right.
designed to be worn with a dress like that. It's designed to be worn with a sort of looser fitting chemise or blouse and then a big skirt or a dress, mm-hmm. something that mm-hmm. is made to get bigger on the bottom. And so it makes it impossible to wear with almost anything else. Or jeans.
Yeah,
like you can't wear it with jeans just because you like the support it gives you on the top. It just doesn't work.
Right.
That, I don't know. So I'm about ready to just go full eccentric. I sent Stu that video, that YouTube video we watched. Kathy Hayes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was like, isn't this amazing? Like, doesn't this just make your blood like flow? And he's just like, I don't want to be married to that. Kathy Hayes is a wonderful person on YouTube who is, she dresses as if she's in Victorian times, right? Is that the time period? She's excellent. I love watching her videos.
I think people just got here. I can hear little voices downstairs.
Okay. Hi, little people.
Hi, little people. All right. What else? We're doing our eyebrows. We're glowing.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're doing with underwear. I don't know what are you going to do with your leg hair? Are you going to shave this winter?
Because I am. I'm going to set myself a challenge.
Like, now I'm shaving. So
no, I'm going to set myself a challenge. And I think that I might invest in that that luminous mica powder body oil that Jamie Beck uses. Because I feel like if there's like a cherry on top, it's like a treat. Like, I'll shave if I get to put this really sexy body oil on and I just feel fabulous when I do it. You know, it's like you have to find little ways to keep yourself going.
That is what skincare, I mean, skincare is such a treat for me. Taking care of my skin is, it makes me very happy. And I have been really neglectful, just in a hurry. Just
that's not like you.
So much work. It's not like me. And last week, I just had to have a little meeting with myself and say, like, we're not going to fall down this slippery slope anymore. Get your act together. Put some cream on. Scrub. Yeah.
How often do you exfoliate?
Not very much.
Why?
I used to be like, I don't know.
Are you supposed supposed to do it often?
Probably a couple times a week. But okay. I imagine.
That's what I usually do. I usually do twice a week.
Yeah. Yeah, not so much. I used to just do it like, you know, 10, 15 years ago, religiously. And I feel like my skin is just finally, for all the grief it gave me for all those years, it's so much more cooperative. And so I feel at this point that like a really good workover with a nice, like a deep nap washcloth does the job.
Yeah, I could see that.
But I do, you know, doTERRA has that 1-2-step reveal. I do that.
Yeah.
That is amazing. I know some people love that. Some people don't like it. That I would say is what I use for exfoliating.
Sure.
I like anything that gives like a microdermabrasion, like polished. Because your look.
Yeah.
When you're done.
Wouldn't that be fun to have your own microdermabrasion kit at home?
Yeah. They have those.
I know. They're expensive though.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about makeup.
Okay.
So COVID has had some victims this quarantine time. And at the beginning, this was, for me, it was my bleach tear. That went very quickly. It was very short-lived because of COVID. and my eyelashes that I had for years. And what I have found, it's actually kind of interesting because COVID is so costly to so many. And that's a very complex topic. But in the last course of this year, I feel like I'm coming out of it that much more aware of who I am and what I'm doing. And that might seem totally silly, but maybe some of you can relate. Like, I've just gone back to my natural hair color. I'm just going to grow it out. It's going to be what it is. And that's it. And I have colored my hair since I was like 12 or 13.
Okay.
That's it. I mean, forever. And now to just be like, this is the color. And apparently this is what's going to work with my face because this is the way the good Lord made me. So we're just going to let it ride.
So you went and you took it, you had her reverse it.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure was a skilled process to do that.
It was very skilled.
And so now there's nothing going on.
the bottoms where it was bleached still has color. Mm-hmm. It has color covering the bleach. So she stripped out basically as much as she could and then added a color that matched my natural color. And so, but like from here down, I like four inches of grow out so far is just my natural color.
You're getting really dark.
I know. It's kind of exciting.
And what is your natural color?
I don't know.
Reddish?
I don't know.
Because I don't know either. I'm thinking
it's more brunette.
As long as I've known you, you were red and then you went darker red.
No, it's not red. It's definitely not red. It's just a I mean, it's just a brown.
Okay.
Just brown.
And no gray. You have no gray hair.
I have no gray.
Okay.
I don't know why. My sisters, I think, both have it. I think they've told me they both have it, but they both color. So no one really knows. Mm. And I'm excited to just be. Let it be. And I felt the same with my eyelashes. And I know, like, I loved my eyelashes. I was very acclimated to them. I loved the way they looked. But now I'm very, I noticed people's eyelashes a lot. Like, mm-hmm. I got a coffee the other day and this chick's lashes, I mean, they were like an inch and a half long. I was like, is this what we're doing now? Like, she almost couldn't open her eyes. And I thought,
oh, I can feel that.
I know.
Just with you saying that, I can feel the weight of that. Ugh.
And that's one way to do it. Great. You want to wear the lashes? I don't care. I'm just saying,
okay,
in this time, I have gotten used to my eyes the way that they are. And before I had my lashes, I would wear eyeliner like all the way around on the bottom, like decked out eye makeup every day. And it's just, I've just stripped it all away and just been like, this is what my eye looks like. And what I found is when you sit with your face, the way that it is, your skin, your eyes, your hair, you get acclimated to it. You know, it initially can be that shock. I think a lot of people deal with this when they start doing like contouring on their face, on their nose. And it's like, well, I can make my nose look like this. Therefore, when I just look at my normal nose with no makeup on it, it can feel ugly or odd, right? Because you're with contouring, you're literally shaping. I mean, you guys have seen these YouTube videos, right? Where the person who comes out is not the person going in. And again, some people are just really into makeup and that's that's their thing. But what I found is if you give your skin and your face just places to breathe, you sort of get to fall back in love with your natural face. Does that make any sense?
It does, but I think too, like we're talking about like a scale. You know, you've got one side, no makeup, and you've got like the other side, like full contouring. Or somebody who's like completely changing their hair color and the faux lashes. Like we're not, I think what you're describing is, I mean, you're still wearing makeup. You still enjoy makeup.
I love makeup.
Yeah. But to a certain extent, you're not trying to make your face something it's not.
And I think that's kind of where that's where I want to encourage, especially women who either think I need to do my makeup like that or I'm just not going to wear any. It's like, no,
there's
a really broad,
if you want it, there's a happy medium.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And if you're wanting to backpedal, you know, I had backpedaled from fake lashes and bleached hair. Like I look back at pictures, I'm like, I think it looks great, but I'm not there anymore. That's not where I'm at. If you want to backpedal, I would just say, give yourself some time and be gentle with yourself because you will reacclimate to what you look like. You will reacclimate to your nose when you stop contouring it. Mm-hmm. You can do that.
I remember I asked, I did ask my stylist what he thought about the eyelashes when they started becoming really, really popular. And he said, look, like, obviously they make you look pretty cool. They're going to make you look great.
Yeah.
But he's like, I've seen it over and over again. There's like this desensitizing or like dissatisfaction then that happens with what you really look like.
Right.
So he's like, obviously we all do it to some extent. He's like, you wear red lipstick, you color your hair. But like, do you want to add one more thing that takes you away from what you really look like? I thought he really spoke to me like very frankly.
Yeah.
I really appreciated it.
Yeah. And I think he's completely right. And I think that is kind of the heart of the issue is why am I doing this? And am I content? And what I didn't like and why I've decided to not even though I can now, I could go get lashes again. I could bleach my hair again. I didn't like being a slave to those things. Where it was like, if I can't go get my lash fill, I don't like the way I look. You know, it became like it bothersome to me. Like, I don't look right. And you're basing that on being able to get into an eyelash appointment, you know, or like when COVID happened and I couldn't get my hair colored, you know, when you're bleaching your hair, you have to do it like every 5 weeks. It's very fast turnaround. Mm-hmm. And when you have grow out, it's nasty. Like, it doesn't look good. And I remember thinking, like, how I feel about going out is dependent on if I can get into the hairdresser. Like, I just didn't like feeling trapped like that. Mm-hmm. And I think women can feel that way about so many things, even acne. Like, I'm not going to be happy going out because, you know, I have this breakout on my forehead or whatever it may be. And I think yes to everything we're saying, but also it's a heart issue. It can be a heart issue. How we look, it's significant to women. It matters, which is a good thing. We were created to be lovely. And that's a beautiful thing to enhance and find joy in. And I think that's a good thing. But just like all good things, it can be completely bastardized if you're not careful. Mm-hmm. And it can become an idol that you can just bow down to and say, well, I'm not going to be happy or content or joyful or any of these things if XYZ isn't lined up right.
And I think, you know what, giving yourself permission to change and to ebb and flow is great.
It like, is.
Don't have to be locked into one look forever and don't be afraid to try new things and try less things or even try more. I mean, I know women that want to wear makeup, they don't know how, so they don't.
Right.
Go ahead and watch some tutorials, you know, you wanted to try something less based on environmental circumstances that prompted you thinking in that direction. You know, you might not have come around to that way of thinking.
Yeah. And I think it kind of does go back to that like Frenchy way. I watched a lot of French beauty YouTube videos and a lot of them are pretty bad and cliche, but there are some good ones. And what I loved was this idea of, you know, some of them would have crooked teeth or they would have moles or, you know, the family nose. And there was this really great YouTuber named Justine. And she just said, like, in France, we don't cover these things up. These are what make you, you. They're not. And so people with crooked teeth, for example, they wouldn't shy away from wearing red lipstick. It was like, these are my teeth. This is my mouth. And this is who I am. And this is what makes me me. And had complete confidence in that.
She does a great job. That's a great YouTube channel.
What's her last name? Justine.
I don't remember.
She is excellent. And it just dawned on me, like, you don't have to cover those things up either. Like, this is what makes your face your face. And that look, that really popular Instagram look of everyone just looks homogenous.
Oh, they all look the same. I mean, yeah, it's the
you lose the flavor, you lose the spice. And and Justine, what's her last name? You found it? Justine
LeConte.
LeConte.
Yeah.
I was going to say LeCrew and I knew that wasn't right. Justine LeConte she's great. But again, that French word, like inward beauty, coming out, confidence in who you are. Mm-hmm. Not because of how you look, but confidence in this is who I am. And skin, like just focus on trying to have less on trying to fake your face with makeup and makeup tricks and more on just taking care of yourself because you're actually healthy from the inside.
Yeah. There's another YouTuber I used to watch, Almost French. Or something like that. She's from New Zealand and she did live in Paris, but has within the last year now moved back to New Zealand. But I remember when I first started watching her, that's what she was talking about going out on the weekends and, you know, getting all dolled up the way you might in New Zealand or in England. And then the French just being like, no, that is too much. That's not what we're doing here.
Yes. I have found that, again, you get acclimated to these things. Okay. You're the frog in the pot of water. The temperature's slowly being turned up. You don't realize it. I found with wearing red lips, not something I ever used to do until, I don't know, the last 7 years or something like that. But like when you wear a red lip, it can feel like too much to also wear eyeliner and eyeshadow and a big thick mascara and have penciled in your eyebrows so they're really heavy and contoured your cheeks. You know, it's kind of like what the French seem to have a way of sort of picking a thing. So if I'm going to highlight my eyes and maybe I'm going to wear a shimmery eyeshadow, then I'm going to understate the lip. So there's just not that like super punchy overdone look, even though they wear makeup and even though they have fun with it. You know what I mean? It seems to be kind of one or the other.
I used to wear a ton of, I mean, I haven't worn eyeshadow in, well, I shouldn't say that. So I used to wear a ton of eyeshadow. Like I did like full techniques, different techniques, different days, you know, like this is a long time ago, but these days however many years, I don't know. I wear foundation. I wear concealer. I wear red lipstick just about every day. I pencil my brows. I wear mascara and I love blush. For years, I didn't even bother with blush. And now I just love blush. And I will clean up my eyelid because, you know, your eyelid has little veins and capillaries and things like that. So I will just use like a super nude eyeshadow or a pale pink or something.
Blank slate.
Just to smooth it out.
Sure.
Yeah. Just like, you know, like you create a blank slate with your foundation almost.
How long does your makeup take you to do it when you do it like that?
5 minutes.
Yeah. That's how mine is too.
Yeah.
Super quick.
I spend the most time putting my mascara on because I love mascara and I wear, you know, 4 or 5 coats of it. And
seriously?
So that takes a few minutes for me to do because I'll put some on and then I let it dry for a second, especially if it's a newer tube of mascara and it's very liquidy. I let it dry for a second.
Bring your eyelashes close. It doesn't look like you have 4 or 5 coats of mascara on.
No, I try to make them look like I comb them out. I try to make them look.
Oh, interesting. I just do one like doop. Onward we go.
No. I love mascara. I think that every woman should wear more mascara. I do. A little more on the edges, like take it and like nestle it in like at the base of your eyelash.
Does it bother you that I don't wear them on the bottom? That I don't wear mascara on the bottom?
A little bit.
Really?
I just think that your eye needs a little bit of definition, but I will tell you this. I don't take it all the way like to the ends. I'm not, because then mine would hit my cheekbones because my bottom ones are long. It's more just like a light coat. And then I take the spoolie and just clean them up. It's basically just to give them a little pigment and not even towards the inner eye because my eyes are kind of close set. So I'm always trying to go east and west with my look and not inside. Does that make sense?
Okay. I don't know.
Now she's rubbing her under her eye, like self-consciously.
I don't know. We'll see. It's a fun thing to be able to explore and to play with. And, you know, we talked in last week's episode about carving out that you get 15 minutes a day for creativity, even if it's watching videos on something you want to learn how to do while you're cooking dinner or in the bathtub or whatever it may be. And I think the same can be said for beauty. It's going to look so different for each person. I really push back against the videos and content that's being produced. It's like 5 things you need to do for blah, 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 blah. And here's the exact blah, 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 blah. I think it's that's so unique. Beauty is so unique. It's like creativity. The way that it comes out for you is going to be different than the way it comes out for me and the way that it comes out differently for our listeners. But I think just exploring that and sort of owning it and this is what I like and this is what I'm going to do. And this is what, you know, makes me feel good. Like all of that contributes to you just being a better participant in the day, you know, like when I go to,
I think with each other too, it's like you were saying, like, it's a heart issue. Like, can we please not worry about what other people
do? Oh my gosh.
I mean, like, can we just let it go? Because even
although we just told people that they needed to get their eyebrows in check.
Did we?
Yeah, we kind of did. We're like, could you tighten it up a little bit?
Okay, well, they do. So anyways, when sometimes, you know, if I'll do like a makeup, I've done a couple makeup videos for YouTube, and obviously I'm starting with a naked face, and there'll be comments like, you don't need to wear all that. Yeah. You know, you look pretty without it. And I always feel bad. I'm like, actually, I'm fine. If you see me, I go a lot without makeup. Mm-hmm. I don't wear it because I'm insecure. I wear it because I love it, because mm-hmm. it's a form of self-expression. So thank you. Mm-hmm. But I'm not trying to like disguise myself. It's like a personal, I think hair and makeup and fashion is obviously a form of self-expression, and we should keep that in mind. Mm-hmm.
And not feel guilty if you find joy in those things. And right. I think especially as Christians, there can be this like, no, you need to, you know, you need to let some of that earthly stuff go. Like, you don't find your identity in those things. You don't find your purpose in those things. Of course not. It's makeup. Of course not.
Right.
That doesn't.
That's what I want to say sometimes. I just want to go like, give me a little bit more credit.
It's so like, but it's I can just still lipstick, enjoy. You know? Putting stuff right. on my face again, mm-hmm. check your heart. But it's no different than I like this color of clothes. Why? Because I like it. It's what I like. And, you know, I think women can just be like, well, if you're wearing red lipstick, like, what are you saying to the world? I'm putting it out there.
No, I'm saying, no, boom.
I can just wear red lipstick because I like it. And that's OK, too. I'm constantly right. reminded of what Ben, I don't listen to Ben Shapiro, but there was a quote of his that I really like. And he said, we have to decide as a culture if we're going to eat each other alive or if we're going to leave each other alone. And I just love that. It was so simple. Mm-hmm. I was like, you're right. If we just left people alone and said, you could wear your makeup however you please. Oh, what a world it would be. Wouldn't fix everything, but
no.
Yeah.
You mentioned your pajamas. Mm. That they were all intact.
Yeah.
Had the buttons, proper drawstring, and they were in functioning order. And that reminds me about American Blossom Linens. So we're going to remind you guys that we have this drawing going over on Instagram. So I'm remiss. I should have mentioned it when you said that. We have a drawing for a queen size set of sheets going on Instagram right now. And we've sort of broken up our selfie and red square pattern to get your attention.
Tragic.
You'll see. There is a square with some sheets and it's announcing this drawing. So go over there and tag a friend. Make sure you're following the Homemaker Chic podcast on Instagram. And we are doing in just a couple days a drawing for a queen size set of organic cotton sheets. Mm-hmm. Now they just need to make pajamas so we can
seriously
sleep wonderfully.
I do. I love going to bed. Every night I get into bed, I'm like, I love our bed. And I just think this was actually a really encouraging conversation for me because I'm going to get my dressing robe. I actually have a new set of American Blossom sheets on the way. Just so I can have two, like an adult, to change them out. Climbing into a made bed, clean American Blossom linen sheets, adult pajamas, not like adult, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like not nasty pajamas.
You're not wearing like
not adult themed.
A grown-up size sleeper with a penguin on the front or anything like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Proper pajamas. Oh, what a luxurious feeling, especially when your legs are shaved and exfoliated. Right. I'm going to do that.
So we're going to do this drawing on Thursday, but if you can't wait till then, we're only going to give away one set of sheets. So if these have been on your list, yes. then procrastinate no longer and visit AmericanBlossomLinens.com and use the code HomemakerChic20.
Yes.
I think the other day we said Homemaker20.
Yeah, and I said that on my YouTube video, which,
oh,
whoops, just realized.
I hit that. It is Homemaker Chic 20 to get 20% off your sheets. I think that would be the perfect treat.
Okay. Yes.
Get some bubbly, get some sheets.
Mm-hmm.
Get some red lips from Tubes & Co.
Yes.
Red wine and you'll be set.
Love that. Well, thanks for meeting us here today, ladies. I hope that this conversation encouraged you. We heard back from a lot of you on Instagram at Homemaker Chic Podcast about our creativity episode that we did last week and how that is coming out for you guys and the kinds of things that it's spurring in you, which was exactly our hope. I hope you realize with this podcast, our hope is never to be like me and Angela. We have it all figured out. We know exactly how you should live your life. Not true. My hope is only that we put pebbles in your shoe or plant a seed in your heart that will manifest in your life, in your home, in a beautiful way. That's our only hope. On the podcast.
Pebbles in your shoe.
Pebbles in your shoe.
Never heard that before.
Really?
No.
Oh, man. I love that saying. My friend Natalie, she introduced me to it a couple of years ago when I was praying for somebody. And she said, you know, my prayer for people like that is always that the Lord would just be a pebble in their shoe. Like, keep annoying them. Keep at them. Don't let up. Just.
That's a great expression.
I know.
I love that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, ladies, go out and have a fabulous Monday.
Monday.
Cheers.
Cheers.